that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this... Oh, it's still a dark morning here. Haven't had sunrise yet this January 8th, 2022. And we've got a full crew on this morning. We'll bring everybody on, and Jason, we'll start with you. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Josh, thanks for joining us from way down south. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And, hey, we're not discriminatory. From way up north, Paul, thank you for joining us, too.
Good morning.
And we thank you, the Remnant, for tuning in, and we're glad you're here. And we've got the phone lines open today, 307-745-5913. And a couple of current events to talk about, plenty going on. It is a new calendar year, and we'll get into a couple things with that. But we're going to open up with prayer first. Jason, we'd ask if you would do that for us, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning, and we ask that you just be with us in the directions that we go, and we pray, Father, that you just tend to the sheep of your pasture, Father. As we cry out to you to save America again, we do cry out that, and we pray, Father, for that to echo across this land and for people to hit their knees and to cry out to you for the salvation that they need, this land needs, Father. We know that there's a national salvation yet to be seen, and Father, we cry out for it, and we yearn for it, and we desire it, and we ask, Father, that you grant it to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open, and I do want to remind everybody, we have the 2022 Bible reading plan available. Be glad to send it out to you, and this year's plan is set up by category, you might say. We started in Romans this week, being the epistles, and that'll carry us through Saturday. Then we'll step back into Genesis, start reading about the law for a week, and then history and Joshua and Judges, and then spend a week in the Psalms, and then a week in Job with poetry, and then a week in prophecy, and then finish out the cycle with a week in the Gospels, and then start it all over again. And this will get us through the Word. And so I encourage you, Remnant, I know that there are several annual read your Bible in a year plans. We would encourage you to use one of them. If you have to download it on your phone, many people do that. This is kind of the old-fashioned way. It's actually a print copy. We can send you an email copy if you'd like. But I suggest that you get it and that you set a time, maybe first thing in the morning. That usually works a little better than last thing in the evening, but whatever works. Maybe it's lunchtime that you can take your Bible to work and you have time to read it then. I suggest that you do that, that you read it, that you highlight it, and you can see your progress. If you will do that, you know, God loves to talk to his people. He does. He doesn't always visit in a burning bush. He doesn't always wrestle with us all night long, and that's a good thing. But he does have his word, and he does still speak to us. And if you'll take time to read his word, I guarantee you, you'll hear him speaking to you. You will. Well, again, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. The program is Coffee with the Wranglers. We've got our Bibles, we've got our coffee, and guys, I didn't know if anybody had something they wanted to lead off with. I'll sure just throw it out there.
Well, it's like these vax mandates that Biden has been and Biden administration has been pushing for workplaces. Looks like they're getting shot down pretty good. So that's definitely a good thing. I know that I was hearing a lot of stuff yesterday that basically they were saying that if they let this stuff go through, then it's basically going to put everybody that has a job in jeopardy all across the United States. And there's certain places that are really pushing. You know, it's like you got to have the two vaccines, then you got to have this booster shot and that booster shot. And people are just, even the people that formerly were for the vaccines and the mandates are beginning to wonder, okay, where's this going to end? Where's it going to stop? What are they going to put us on a diet next and limit our calories? Tell us that we can, we got to drink Diet Coke too. There's a lot of stuff going around, and it's kind of interesting. So it's good that it's getting shot down. There's a lot of people that have woken up through this whole mandate and mandatory so-called vaccination thing, and a lot of people are waking up and saying, "Hey, we don't want that. We're not going to do it." And there's been a big shift in people that have went from one career to another career just simply because of that. So that's encouraging. People are standing up and saying no, and realizing the dangers of it.
Amen.
Well, it seems like this administration is so silly. I mean, if you can't see through it, you definitely have a serious problem. And I think that's exactly what we need, is to be shown as a nation how stupid this whole thing is. I see the vice president compared to that January 6th baloney that went on in Washington to Pearl Harbor and, well, I don't know, something else, but, huge, the Holocaust. And, like that was even, that should make a lot of vets extremely mad. So, but I just think that this is what we need, something so stupid to wake us up, because when we leave God, this is what we get, and it's on its way down. And everything they touch is being destroyed. I mean, that, General Electric, many people walked out the door. They didn't do it. I mean, that's kind of encouraging. There is 7,000 or more out there. So, I don't know. It's all working to good.
Amen to that. And it's coming out, the realization. There was a headline last night that said half of the reported COVID-19 hospitalizations were not due to COVID. And, you know, that's something that we've talked about since the very beginning. And that has come out that deaths have been reported since the very beginning of this COVID mess. You know, and many people were picking it up, like you've mentioned, Jason. The people are waking up to it. You know, they'd see that, you know, these people passed away and it's being blamed on COVID. And now New York Governor Kathy Hochul released this data that said, you know, only the numbers are skewed. Only about half of the numbers that we're reporting are due to COVID. And they twist the numbers around to make it seem like more. Because why? Because there's federal dollars involved. We've known that from the very beginning. There's federal dollars involved, billions of dollars. Our local little governments out here are getting the EMA, Emergency Management Agency, and the school boards and the counties out here in this little county are getting millions in these federal funds, and the hospital is as well to deal with the COVID. And so, you know, greed is such a so rampant today. It is, you know, there are people, there are administrators in hospitals, in governments, in schools that are just, oh man, we can access this money. It's there. Let's do it. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter to them. They'll fake the numbers. They'll run the numbers up. They'll say, yeah, oh, well, all of, yeah, these are positive tests. And, you know, we only had to do 12 of them to get a positive test, but it's a positive test now, and on and on and on. And, you know, this is from this same New York. I see we got a caller. Just hold on there, caller. We'll get right to you. This there in New York that's releasing this is the same administration that revealed that it would prioritize non-white people in the distribution of the COVID-19 treatments. And they just come out and say this: we're going to discriminate against you, and we're going to put these people above you. And Jason, when you were talking about those mandates that people were talking, that they were turning away from, that if we allow these, what, you know, where's the end? And there is no end. And I think that they slipped when they let that out. They let you know exactly how they feel, is that they want to prioritize it. What's to stop them from saying, well, you know, we don't want you, hardworking, educated white people. We'd rather have, now we have a new mandate that we have to provide jobs for these other people. That's what happened in South Africa at the end of apartheid. That's the exact same thing that happened. And you look at that country, and it has, like almost every other country in the world, it has been utterly destroyed. It has. I don't blame the black people down there for doing it. No, it's the leadership. It's those that have believed the lies. It's that that unseen third party that's behind the curtain that says, let's you and him fight. And that's exactly, I think, what's happening. Well, guys, let's go to the phone lines this morning. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, brothers.
Hey,
this is Patrick from Minnesota.
Good morning, Patrick from Minnesota. How are you?
Awesome.
Well, good. Good to hear.
I'm just awesome. You know, I had I missed the intro on the show this morning, so I don't know which brothers are on. I had to, I was going to call in the radio. I had to make sure my teeth were brushed and hair was combed. And but you know, I called in on Wednesday night, and you know, I wanted to. To tell everybody what I had a wholly inspired day that day. And, you know, I feel as we're getting closer to the end, you know, the more happy I am getting. And I just wanted to tell the remnant out there that, you know, don't despair. Don't get too caught up in the headlines and stuff, because it's all coming down. They know it's coming down. We know it's coming down. So, but, you know, I had been on this spiritual walk with the Lord, as all of us, all of you guys have too, you know, and I'm prompted to someday, and I'm putting myself out on the, you know, they like that old saying, you know, don't let your mouth cash write checks that your butt can't cash. Yeah, remember how it went? But, you know, I feel that, you know, God is calling me to bring a message to a certain segment of the ministry, you know, the newbies, you know, that are, you know, really not sure, you know, they're standing an arm length away, you know, they don't want to get so close, you know, they're afraid that, you know, if they see my sin in the world, you know, they're not going to want to accept me, you know. And so I feel that at some point that, you know, I would like to bring a message about it at, you know, like at Branson. And so I've just been kind of for a while going over what would the Holy Spirit want me to say, and you know, this and that. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit, particularly on Wednesday, was just, I was overwhelmed by it, because, you know, it was like, well, you can talk about this, you can talk about that. And then, Richard, you know, you and I just kind of text back and forth that day. I was at lunchtime, and it was like this, just talking about the Bible is powerful. Just holding a Bible is just powerful. You know, of course, reading it and studying it. Now, my family, we got to COVID over, you know, the second week of December, and the best way I could describe this COVID is demonic. You know, it messes with your brainwave pattern. You can't think. You know, you can't. You just, you know, you struggle reading the Bible, because you just don't have the energy. And I felt like there was a wall put up. And so I would just, when I was trying to sleep, I would just, you know, I just grab the Bible, just hold the Bible and feel the energy, and then just pray to the Holy, you know, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You know, help us, you know. And then, and it just, the COVID was gone, you know. We were on some therapeutics, and my wife ended up in the ER, and I prayed over her, anointed her, and then went in the ER on Monday evening, came out Tuesday morning, you know, all day Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, it was like night and day, you know, still struggling with some of the after effects, but, you know, that's, you would expect that from something that obviously is not of nature. It's, you know, a design of an evil man. That's how I can best describe it.
Well, Patrick, what a great testimony that is. And I, as you said, I hope that those newbies, as you called them, that are, as we're all growing in our faith, just at different levels, but that maybe haven't experienced that haven't, you know, been through that valley, haven't realized, you know, just it reminds me, you have soldiers out there, you know, you have the, and I've had two sons that have joined the military in just the last couple of years. And, you know, you see them, and not just them, but the soldiers, you know, when they get to boot camp, they don't know what's going on. But as time goes on, they get through their boot camp, they get through their AIT, maybe they get their first assignment, and the longer that they're in, you know, for lack of a better term, the better soldiers they become. They understand the difference between a colonel and a captain, and you know, they learn what they're to be doing, and you know, the longer they're in, the better they get, and it's like that going into war. It's like that in the times that we're in now, and it's like that spiritually. You know, the more of these that you go through, and Patrick, I know you've been through quite a bit, but we learn, and we all have been through these things, and hopefully we learn, we apply some of the teachings that our pastor and the pastors that have come before us have taught, and as we've read in the Word, and you know, we realize I pulled out when you were talking my Psalms 91 bookmarker, and it is truth. You know, when Jesus healed, you know, he would ask, "Do you believe I can?" And what is it you want me to do? And it was their faith. So many times it was their faith. It was what they believed. They believed that Jesus Christ could heal them. And that's that faith that is an action word that we have to have today. And I hope those newbies, I hope that they realize that, you know, when you can move, when you move into the shelter of the Most High, when you make Him your dwelling place, that these promises are there, and that we do have victory, and we rejoice in that. So, well, Patrick, thanks for the call. Thanks for the testimony, and yeah, you keep working on that message, and we'll work with you on that. We'll get something figured out.
Okay, brother. Thanks for having me on today, and I hope this is, you know, inspire somebody. You know, hold on to the faith. You know, we're this ride is just about over. I mean, we're going through some tough times here, but you know, you don't have to. You know, we come out on the right side in the end. So Amen. We just got to keep that in mind.
Amen to that. Well, thank you, brother. God bless. You have a great weekend. Well, Remnant, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Josh, I thought maybe you had a comment here a minute ago. We'll go back to you.
Yeah, I did, and that led perfectly into it. So this morning, I was praying about what it was that I should bring to the table this morning, what scripture and what thoughts. And it came to me just of how we should be, like, have the faith of children. And so I got to digging in the Bible, and in Matthew chapter 18, it says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, 'Truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me.'" And, you know, we don't, to us and in our earthly, I guess fleshly state, it is not a compliment to someone to tell them that they're acting like a child. You know, we do embrace and rightly so, to an extent, the wisdom of the elders, and but our walk with Christ and our faith is a different thing altogether, and that's what this is referring to, is our relationship with him and how we should approach that relationship as children. And it made me think about myself, when we do experience things throughout life, and there are definitely lessons learned and blessings from them, and especially whenever we look to God for the answers and to follow him which direction that we should go. But also too, we don't always weigh in just the scriptural side of things. We look at the earthly side, and you can end up skewed. You can have perceptions of realities and situations that's not biblically correct because of the part that we put into it, the human part. And so I was just thinking about what is it to have the faith of a child, and what does that mean? And from the way that I see it, it is just looking at it as for what it is, what you're seeing, what's actually. And we got the instruction manual before us, and in every situation, whenever we should study definitely and pray daily, and but we should look to the Word when we're making those choices, and we should have that childlike faith of, okay, if the Bible says this, that's what I'm going to do, because it is that simple. And knowledge puffeth up for sure, and I know I've fallen in that trap, and like I said, it's just not something that is appealing to someone to be compared to a child, but there's definitely room for that, and in regards to our faith and to our walk with God. And I try every day, I try to pray that God guide my steps and show me what I should do, and show me when to speak, when to be silent. That's a big one. And we need that direction of the Holy Spirit if we're going to prosper and be able to make it down the high road, the path that we should be on, the path less taken. And it's up to us. I was thinking, as the caller was talking, or maybe you said about with the leadership issue. I mean, that is something in this country, in every workforce, everywhere you look, there's a void in leadership, and that's certainly the truth whenever we're talking about our Christian soldiers. We are not doing a good job of being the leaders that we should for our brethren, for our households, for our all the way up the line to our country. And it's our responsibility to step up and to be those leaders. And as we know, there's not going to be a vacuum. So if we won't do it, they will. And it's not going to be a good result for us if we shrink back and let them do the work and take the reins and drive.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that faith as children, your children believe. If you tell them there's a guy called Santa Claus, they'll believe you. If you tell them there's an Easter Bunny, they'll believe you. They believe. They do. They do. Amen, Josh. Man, you had a ton there. I hope I can use some of that stuff. It was sure encouraging to me. Absolutely. We've got a caller. Let's go back to the phone lines. And caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard, and all the rest of you guys. This is Ken in Wisconsin.
Good morning, Ken.
Hey, good morning. I stumbled across something last week. I got to back you guys up about 10, 15 minutes, whatever, back into what you was talking about at the beginning of the program. I can't help myself. I have to tell you this. My sister had called me and told me about a radio talk show she listens to, And the guy's name was Jeffrey Bennett. I remember this guy from way, way, way back, but I haven't heard him in years and years. So I just thought, oh, I'll look him up and see if he's still broadcasting. Well, I did a Google search just figuring I was going to find his radio program. Well, Google somehow, instead of bringing that up, brought up the obituaries. And I thought, what is this? So I started to look at these obituaries to see if this Jeffrey Bennett that had the radio program was one of them. Here's what I found. Now, this is going to shock, it shocked me. I went into page 2 of the Jeffrey Bennetts that have died since 2020. Now, that was enough to shock me right there. These are all Jeffrey Bennetts. They're all different Jeffrey Bennetts. They all have different middle names, and they're all from different parts of the country. And they've all died since 2021, except for... Now, I was into the 13th one, and there was only 3 of them that were over 60 years old. Most of them were in their 40s, early 50s. One was 38. And they've all died since 2020. All since the vaccine came out. And it was just, I was baffled by it. My mouth dropped down to my feet that so many Jeffrey Bennetts could have died in that period of time, all different places of the country. And you might want to look your own name up and see how many of those have died. But it's just telling me one thing, and one thing only, these vaccines have to be. Was causing so many people with the same name, especially. That was just more than a coincidence. I had to get that out. You can go wherever your imagination leads you on that one, but I had to tell you.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that with us, Ken. That's interesting, and I've talked to other people that have noticed the same thing, and it's like, you might not know all these people that are dying, but you start going and looking at the obituaries or something and like that, and it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. And they're all from just these last 2 years.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Well, and another interesting thing was here just a couple of days ago in an interview Fauci was in, he ended up, I don't know, slipping or if you call it a slip-up or telling the truth for a brief second, but he was talking about how the United States collaborated with the Chinese communist on gain-of-function research on coronaviruses. And came out, and I mean, just came out and admitted it, and then had that dumb look on his face, kind of like Biden has on a pretty regular basis, and like, oh my goodness, what did I just say?
Yeah. That man belongs in an insane asylum somewhere alongside of Frankenstein, I think. So, God bless you all. I'll carry on and keep listening to your program from here on, and I enjoy it every Saturday. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ken.
Jason, I don't know if you saw it or not, but this week came across that one of the millions of lines of the many COVID relief packages deep within it, the requirement for all the automotive manufacturers to start putting the remote kill switches in the vehicles.
Yes, I did. Yep. Yep. Would not want to buy a new vehicle, don't it?
I'm not the sharpest tack in the box, but how is that protecting us from COVID again?
Yep.
And it just, all this free money. Richard was talking about free money for the fire department, free money for the hospitals, free money for the state. Well, I don't know about, well, I do know. I know it's applicable to everyone, but in particular with me, you've been seeing it lately. On January 1st, pretty much every distributor that we deal with, prices have gone up, not just a normal 1 or 2% or what have you. We've been seeing 13%, 18%, and just crazy increases on everything in January 1st. And I just can't help but wonder if that might have something to do with all the free money. I don't know. It kind of seems relevant.
Well, you know, that's part of the feminist mentality, that more money fixes everything. But I'm telling you, those shelves are getting bare, and this free money ain't going to mean nothing. And there's nothing behind it. I mean, they're just pumping it out here, and people, like, it's going to fix everything. And actually, it's actually destroying things more than it's fixing. Struggle makes people stronger. Ease makes them stupid. And that's the thing. Everybody thinks you got more money, well, you can go buy what you want. Well, you can't even go get it. When you talk about 50, you know, 10% of inflation, I went and bought a herbicide that I wanted for some brush, and I bought a small amount. It was like $50 for 2.5 gallons. I'm going to get that before the price goes up. Well, it went back, and it was $120-some. Now, that's about 100% increase, ain't it? And this is going on old. And there's no need for it. You know, the whole beef industry, you can buy a cow at the sale for what you could 10 years ago, but they're just inflating it and just stabbing people. But, you know, there's a huge seed supply, you know, out west that they've had the drought and stuff. People are dumping numbers, and even that is someday going to come to a head. So the system we see is going downhill so fast, it's hard to believe. If you're looking at the vital signs, you know, what really is going on, it's not good. You get a stimulus check, and all they're doing is, you know, extending the time. But anyway, it's not good, but it is good. Israel's being refined. You know, I was reading Amos 4 the other night, and it kept telling you all the things that he did, the weather, and all that he did. And Israel still didn't turn to me. At the end of the chapter, it says, Israel, get prepared to meet your God, you know, and this is the same shoes that we're in at the moment. We aren't going to preserve the system, and it's peculiar to watch it go down because, we're ingrained with Babylon in our mind since a little childhood, and it's kind of difficult to watch it go away, but it's going away. You know, I'm 70 years old, and I just got to get used to it because it's coming, you know. The oppression. If you build a campfire, you got a little flame going, or you put a little piece of dry bark over, you keep putting it until you keep putting it on, and pretty soon you can't contain that flame. And this is what we have to do. The oppression that we have is going to purify this whole system, and it's really a good thing. You watch the school system in Chicago, you know, the union is trying to dictate what's going on there, you know, and it's just coming apart. And, you know, people are dropping out in homeschool and everything just like flies. I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, they have snow days here, you know, right? There wasn't even bad snow. We went to school in blizzards, you know, and but now that they think it's going to snow, they stop it. So it's bizarre.
You know, I'm sitting here watching the cows graze in the bottom, and you talking about that free stuff, it just completely made me think about the other evening. I came home from work and was trying to put out hay and do this and do that before dark, and a cold front was coming in, and so everything was feeling their oats and running around and jumping. Well, as I drove through with the tractor, a couple of the cows ran through the gate, you know, bucking and snorting, and so I got mad, but tried to run them back in, and that didn't work. And so parked a tractor in front of the gate, and the little girl said, "Dad, let me go get the feed bucket." And you know, that's a simple thing, and she had thought of it, but I was a little bit angry and ready to shoot them, honestly. But so anyway, she went and got the feed bucket, and you know, I tried for, because I was a little ways from the feed room, and all, it wasn't convenient. Tried to run them back in, and that wasn't happening. But she went and got that feed bucket with a couple inches of feed in it, and you know, shook it around, and they still didn't come, and set it down and let them come over there to it and get them a little bite. And then once I got their head in the bucket, then they were coming, and you know, let them right back into the gate where they were. And we're no different than that. That's all this free stuff, you know. I mean, it makes us slaves to them, and I'm not saying us necessarily, but our people. It makes slaves of them because it's just a natural thing of, you know, if it's easy, you're normally going to try to go down that road. And boy, it sure is dangerous, though, to blindly follow that. And we know that, hearing you talk, Paul, about it coming down, and it is, and you can see it around you, but it's important for us to remember it's not our system that's coming down, it's their system. It's their system that takes a third of whatever we make off the top and then takes 10% more whenever you spend your money. And the ones that are strangling us and forcing vaccinations and, you know, the different mandates and ostracizing folks, it's their system that's coming down, not ours. So we need to just make sure that we're on the right team, that we're in the kingdom corner, and sit back and watch it fall. Pop you some popcorn, you know, but definitely need to do whatever God's putting on our hearts to get ready for it, for sure. But I do believe it's happening, and it is a blessed thing. And I think looking at history, looking at the Bible, time and time again, we are the ones that choose how bad it's got to get. If we'll go ahead and hit our knees and cry out to God, you know, it doesn't have to be the same way as if we stand there stiff-necked and make him use the belt, I guess.
Amen to that.
Remember the story? Yeah, remember the story Pastor Peter's talk when he was supposed to turn these cows, and anyway, he was a daydreamer or something, and they broke. Remember him saying that? And when they break, you got a mess. And this is why I think it's going on with the people. Some of us are breaking, and they got a mess. So I don't know if any remember that story, but I do, because if you've been around cows, you know, and just about every cow that I sent to the butcher fouled a grain tail. So it works pretty doggone good.
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
Amen to that. You know, Josh, that reminded me of the time in Egypt that we read of, that our forefathers spent in there, that, you know, it says they when they finally cried out, God heard, and he delivered them. And that system of Egypt went down. And it was never, after that, it was never as grandiose and as splendid and that world system like it was before. And it was their system that went down. It was their people that died. And our people, those that were obedient, they were saved. They were delivered from that. Time and time again, that they still complained and stuff and walked in the wilderness for, 40 years. And they prospered in the wilderness. Their families grew and but they believed to a point, at least enough to do what the you know, what they were instructed to do with the Passover. But it wasn't a complete, you might say, belief or obedience or whatever it was. But God was sure, and God was faithful, and he did. He saw that there that you're talking about, you know, their system. Their system of taxation on everything that you have, their system of this false morality, that, you know, a form of godliness that denies the power that they put out. It's their system, and it is coming down. It is, and we just need to not be like those that came out of Egypt that still desired Egypt. That still wanted to, you know, oh, there were onions there. Oh, there were graves there. We need to make sure that you know, we don't feel that way, and that we share that with others, and that we, you know, remind them that, hey, listen, it's this ungodly system that's changing, and it needs to come down. It needs to change. Supreme Court still hasn't, as far as I know, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but still haven't gone back and revisited Roe versus Wade, or at least haven't announced it. And that's a big thing, you know. It's conservative judges, and hopefully, you know, they will. Hopefully that's a step in the right direction. You know, you see some leaders in the nation that, I saw this from Franklin Graham the other day, blamed this January 6th mess. He said, I'm not calling it an insurrection, I'm blaming it on the swamp. And he said, the only hope, our only hope, is Almighty God and Jesus Christ. And I don't agree with everything that Franklin Graham puts out, but I sure agree with that. And I think it's like God said, even if I have to have the stones cry out, the stones will do that. And
but that's blasphemous to call them the Supreme Court. God's the Supreme Court.
Oh, absolutely.
We need the churches back in order. You know, that's blasphemous to call him Supreme Court. A conservative is just a person that uses less water. We need righteousness and law again.
And listening to you, Richard, made me think about the fact a lot of times we confuse, or we get confused with the fact that we're thinking if we're going to do it God's way, that it's going to be easy. And they don't call us Christian soldiers for anything. I mean, if you're going to do it his way, it's going to be a fight, because you're going to be the one going against the grain and against the waves. So, and then just was praying with a brother this week, and he was going through a hard time, and it occurred to me, or God spoke to me, and I noticed I need to find the, I guess I do know the scripture. You know that the greater calling, a greater faith is that faith of the centurion. Whenever, and we know that's a biblical lesson, when you don't have to see, you know, when you just, if Jesus said it, that's good enough for him, don't have to lay a hand, don't have to see, you know, we got his word. But we're not always in a position where we have that faith. There are ups and downs, and sometimes we're closer to that childlike side than the mature Christians that we should be. And don't believe there's any shame in asking God to show us and to give us greater faith and to build us. And so many times in my walk, he didn't have to, but I was so thankful that he did show me some little sign just as soon as I got through praying, or even sometimes the words haven't left your mouth yet. You just have thought what you're going to pray, and he already shows you that he's there. And I don't believe there's any shame in that, in asking him to show us, forgive us of our unbelief, and to grow us in our faith. He does that for us because he loves us, and it is a walk, and we are to grow, and we're not always going to be right where we want to be in that progression.
Amen to that. Well, we got another caller. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, another thing, everybody over 20 died in the wilderness too, so there was a whole lot of unbelief in that group too.
Yes. Yeah, we have to be different than that. We do. We have those stories there. You know, what a merciful God to give us those stories so we can see what happened. We can learn from their mistakes, if we will. Well, we've got a caller. Caller, thanks for holding, and welcome to the program.
Greetings. The Lord has reminded me of this chapter 47 of Genesis. To see if it fits in with, you know, the good news that's coming today, and to remind us that we must move from the office of person, that's how they have us captured. You can see an explanation of that in embassyofheaven.com. But the Lord reminded me this week of how Joseph we moved from the office of person to our priesthood. And in Genesis chapter 47, it says that Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priest only, which became not Pharaoh's. So to me, this is the prophecy and the law that we have forgotten. And, you know, not that I know it all, but we must move towards our priesthood. And I was reminded of the scripture on one of the calendars from the past, which was 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9. If when evil cometh upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. So whatever that means, it's good news. That's all I know. And we have to just have faith. Even in the face of no hope, we have to have faith. Shalom, brothers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's what Hezekiah did when the multitudes were coming against him. Him and all of Israel stood before the Lord. It said, we just read it, I think, Wednesday night, with their wives and their children. That's all they could do. They did not know what to do in the face of this innumerable horde that was coming against them. And so they turned to God. They turned to God, and he delivered them. And he did. And he will again. He will again. If, you know, we have the formula. You know, we have the formula. It's not like the formula for Coke or Pepsi or even the Chick-fil-A. It's the formula for life. It's the formula for salvation and the saving in the here and now, in the today. We have the formula for the salvation for the here and after as well. But that salvation for the here and now is there as well. I think it was covered today. You know, Joshua, you talking about having the faith as children, believing. His word says it, whether we believe it or not, it's true. But that's what we can take to the bank. I think of that. I know that's an old-fashioned saying. But, you know, when he says that that you will not be afraid of the terror by night, you can count on that. If you will, if that's what you believe, and if you believe these lies that you get from the media and everything else, well, that's a different story. But if we will believe and apply what his word says, and we haven't, that's that. Josh, you mentioned that too, that void of leadership that we see all over the country. It is missing. It's missing in our families. And it's missing in our communities and in our churches and our government. And the enemy thrives in that void.
Well, it would do us all well to remember to be humble and not get puffed up where we stand. And, you know, when none of us have it all figured out. We just don't. If you didn't read it in your Bible, then you can't know it. And but you know, you just look about, and that's arrogance is lifted up as a good thing. You know, humility and you know, being meek is looked at as weakness, and that couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, it is the exact opposite. It's flipped, and then. Hey, I tell you, I didn't, in years past, I did not want to be thought of as meek. I didn't understand. I thought it was weakness myself, but there is a difference whenever, you know, when you have that power, but hold back from using it. When you're meek and your love for your brother is what's driving and God and trying to do the right thing. It takes a lot more strength to be meek and to not hit somebody back whenever they hit you than it does to just feel good and rear back and knock the fire out of them whenever they attacked you. I've taken years to learn that, but I do understand now. I used to think that was weakness, but I was wrong.
Amen. And we're told it's the meek that shall inherit the earth. I think those are the red letters. So, well, guys, we are all out of time. Thank you guys so much, Paul and Jason and Josh and all you remnant for joining us today. If this has been half as encouraging to you as it has to me, then you're going to be encouraged today. That's for sure. So, men, thanks again for joining us. And Remnant, we'll invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. And we'll start up there. We'll have a little bit of everything for you, a review of the news and a timeless pulpit message and a live message and communion. It'll give you the opportunity, even if it's over your computer, to worship, to join with like-minded Christians, and to have that fellowship, to have that daily bread that we need. And so, again, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, head them off, Snake High.
Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High. My heart's calculating.